Roll call, I believe we have the full committee. We have both youth and governance here in attendance. Approval of the minutes from the previous meeting.
Second.
Supervisor Nudo, seconded by Supervisor Skolinski. Any comments?
I sent an email to my name.
I saw it because I have a smartphone now and I don't have to wait till I get home.
Okay.
I don't know how to use it.
And Vicki responded, I don't know, I think she just responded to me, but she does keep the minutes. But then you just said tonight you were thinking of starting to post the minutes on, you know, the packet that you referred to online, which I think would be really nice because then it's there, you know.
Yeah, the entire packet, it'll be these minutes, but last month's packet will all get posted because I can't post these until they're approved. So I'll go back to last month, get the entire packet, scan it in, and that's what will get posted.
Perfect.
Because then all the attachments are with the minutes.
I just thought that if it had a minute that just said, John Ruby reviewed the report sent to the committee, he sent it in the committee packet, and there's 9 minutes. I mean, what did he talk about? You know, I mean, so now they'll see what he talked about. That's all.
Anything else on the minutes? If not, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and governance?
Aye.
Chairman, committee members, supervisors, youth and governance comments. Everyone knows that we had a very bad start to the golf season. I know Dan's going to tell us how things are going now, but I know that the weather was a little bit better. I read that the air conditioning may be set and we'll have our golfers happier. Highways, if you've been driving around the community, you know that the paving crew's in full bloom, full force. Everything that they're doing is also affected by the weather, but I think they're very much on schedule for the roads that we saw and approved early on in the year. The parks where I've seen naturally have been very busy, a little bit influenced by the weather, though. I think the beaches have been down somewhat. And, we have had, and credit to John and his ingenuity on getting that youth work group out, especially at the new park. I know they've helped in other places, but the new property that we purchased here in the winter or early spring, they've been out there on that land adjacent to the Katy Park for the last month, and they've done a lot of cleanup, and the things have really progressed to the point that if we had to have full-time workers out there, it would have been a major project. So that I've been able to see that daily, the progress there. So that's just a couple little comments I have. Any committee members? Youth and governance? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Oh, somebody has something.
Comment, yeah.
Who did?
Mr. Underhill might have something.
Mike?
I had a one of my constituents in my district call me. Oh, it was like in May, Gary Keyes. And he had some difficulties. He bought a season pass. He had some changes in employment, so he wasn't going to be able to use it at all. I don't know if he used it. I talked to Dan, I talked to county exec, and neither one of them said there was any, no refund. So last week I went over to Brightondale, just went in there and says, you got an application for a golf pass, and here it is. And the application says nothing about refunds. The only thing it does say is you can't transfer the pass. And the only thing I want is something in writing. I know it's too late for this guy now to either say that on the applications or set up a policy for refunds. And he says, well, we're giving such a great deal to these people that that they should, they don't deserve a refund. Well, if someone breaks their arm in April, and had bought a pass in April, and they break their arm or leg, and they can't use their pass for the year, I mean, what kind of business is that? That's not good business. I even talked to Corp Counsel about it. Corp Counsel felt the same way. It's not good business. It's just, we need to come up with some kind of policy for refunds, or, you know, like he says, well, everybody will be doing this. Well, you know, we need to come up with something in writing. I mean, something in writing that says we don't give refunds, or this is what we do if we do have it.
Right.
You have a difficulty. People get sick all the time. You get cancer. You can't go out and golf. You know. So that's my big thing. You know, you guys can do what you want.
We can look at it, but I think, Mike, the simplest thing would be, if that's what you would like, we'll just have it in our policy that there are no refunds, because we don't get this hardly ever.
No, I understand.
So we don't want to start it either.
No, I understand completely.
So, I mean, you could come up with so many different reasons. So, I mean, that's probably, and as a committee, we'll address it, not for this year.
No, I understand that, but I think that they should have something on there that says, and not in little writing or hidden in the form, something bold that says no refunds, no transfer passes.
Right, right.
Thank you.
Okay, Supervisor Dodd.
I talked to one of the co-owners from Bristol Oaks Golf Course. He brought up a good point on this subject, and he says that they don't hardly ever give out a refund unless somebody in the beginning of the season has a stroke or something along those lines. Then they won't give refunds. And I think maybe that's something we should consider. If somebody buys a season pass and he gets a stroke, and I don't want to say no refunds, but there might be some cases that we may want to consider. I'd just like to bring that up.
Right. Well, as a committee, we can look at it for next season.
Yeah, I got something on a different subject. I was going to wait for the golf report, but it might be while we were talking about rules. I was called by a father that has a 5-year-old son who's, the 5-year-old is a very good golfer, and he takes him everywhere to golf, and he was a little irritated that, and he's golfed at between Brightondale and Five Springs several times with him, and all of a sudden one day whoever was there said, you know, how old is your son? And he said, 5. Well, you have to be 7 to go. And he says, really? I mean, he's golfed 3 times. He's golfed at Shepherd's Creek, Crook, and this and there and here and there, and no one's ever said they have a rule as for 7. So he asked, well, let me see the rule. Let me see where it's printed. Well, I don't know where it's printed, but that's what the rule is. So it's the same thing. Is there really a rule about 7 years old?
Yes, there is.
And what would be the reason for it? Is there an exception if you have a son that happens to be, or a daughter that happens to be exceptionally good?
The reason is just through experience that I've had people come up with baby strollers. Oh, we're just going to push the baby stroller along and golf as we play. And, you know, a 5-year-old, you know, if it's their first time out, they might not even know what 4 means, or to duck or get out of the way if somebody screams it, you know. So overall, as a policy, we set 7 years old as the youngest that you can be to be on the golf course if you're accompanied. If you're unaccompanied, it's 12, you know, and it's just so that it's for the safety of the constituents, for the safety of the players.
Well, he offered to have golf around with him. And if he slows you, if you thought he slowed you up, then he'd understand. But
it has nothing to do with pace of play. It has everything to do with safety. I mean, you know, a lot of kids 5 years old, they have no clue, you know, how dangerous it can be. And with fairways going back and forth and not knowing what 4 means, I mean, you know, that's why we set up 7. I've had, like I said, I've had people come with baby strollers. Oh, we're just going to push this along as we play. What? You're going to could get the kid killed. You know, ball comes in, hits the baby in the baby stroller. So that's why we said it.
Well, I always thought that if you paid, you're insured. I mean, if you paid for the round, you're 5 or you're 95, you're covered by some type of insurance policy. So you could say the same. I don't know. All right, that's the policy. Is it somewhere in writing?
I could put it in writing. I think it's in our associate's handbook, you know, at the counter.
That's another thing, Doug, we can look at in the off season. I wouldn't want to play behind a 5-year-old, but I mean, if you can.
I've actually played with him. He is very good. He doesn't slow down either.
Right. Yeah, that would be an exception.
But you know, what the father does is he tees off and the son tees off, and then the son picks up his ball and right. He hits his next ball from wherever the father does, but once he gets within 50 yards, then he's okay. I mean, there are extenuating ways. There are ways to do it, you know. So anyways.
Anything else under supervisor's comments? We'll move on to citizens' comments. Under citizens' comments, you would have 5 minutes to address the committee on any matter pertaining to highways, parks, golf, and public buildings. No deers, please. I've had enough emails on deer this week. All we ask is that you give your name and address. And do we have anybody for citizens' comments? Bill?
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I listened to your meeting last month, and I talked to Gary 6 months. He just passed these around. Just, I don't know if I got enough, whatever. This is about the KD new park over there, and I had fire chief with me as well. We asked for no parking there, and I listened to chairman's comments.
Bill, I need to have your name and address.
Oh, Bill Lumbach, 33911 Geneva Road, Wisconsin. Town Chairman Wheeler. Anyway. I listened to it, and the 10 minutes you guys talked about it, I only really agreed with two things, and that would be what Mr. Sixma said about not just making no parking in this off-shoulder area in KD, make it a reasonable amount away, maybe halfway to Loyce's Farm and from KD and F there, so they can park there. So I went into your park, and I heard you say, Mr. Chairman, that you park there. I park there too when I deer hunt, but I go to the east. This accident that you see in front of you happened. Your meeting, everybody kept saying there's been no accidents, no accidents. Well, that's not true. This accident happened here. It was pulling out of that shoulder there. When you come over that hill, there's a little jog to the road as well. I'm not looking for a speed limit, slow down or nothing. There was something mentioned about, you know, there's a new town constable out there. Well, a new town constable has 25 or 27 years of service to Twin Lakes, so he's not a rookie. I don't want to make money off this. I'm not looking to write parking tickets. Your county write all parking tickets. You can write all speeding tickets. I don't really care. I just want no parking there because we had this accident already. Now we have 10, 12-year-old kids walking across there. This accident, if you look, what if it would have been a motorcycle that came over that hill? You know, that may have been our first fatal there. We had a fatal there a few years ago, but it was still private property. By buying the park, which that's fine, we got a park, but put a parking area on your park property, and my suggestion is the crest of the hill, or as far north as you can go to your property line, put 7-8, just a gravel lot like you have in there already. So then you got access to the north and south. Now that the other one I agree with, somebody had mentioned here, and nobody says their name that I heard on there, but about handicapped parking. So put a little gravel parking lot there so they can get to that dam area, and let's put no parking on KD. I don't know. To me, I thought it was a no-brainer because of the danger. When the county bought the park, they created a danger because people are parking there in White Cross. When Meyer owned it, I had permission to fish there, but Timmy Bloss had the house there. You know that, Mr. Chairman.
Right.
And, you know, I was able to park in Timmy's driveway, which is more closer to the crest of the hill. So my suggestion is, when Mr. Sixman's here, I'll go up there my bobcat and strip it for you for free. Let's throw a couple loads of gravel in there and put it in the most strategic spot there is. Mr. Chairman, yourself, Mr. Sixma, the fire chief and myself, we have a four-way meeting there. If your board would give us permission, find a spot to put parking on the north side of that lake. That's all I'm asking. That's about it. I mean, but the statement, one of you people on this panel said we need a parking lot over there. Put it on the park property instead of on KD. There was another statement made, there's, you know, if you go to, you know, Fox Silver Lake Park, you don't park on F, you park in a parking lot in there. You go to any other park, Old Settler, you all have parking lots. They don't park on the side of Highway 50 to go to Old Settler's Park. So this is, to me, is a no-brainer. And again, if you look at the accident, how it happened, it's laid out there perfect. Somebody could have got killed in that particular accident. I mean, when I go by there on the weekends, I went up there on purpose Saturday. There was not that much activity on that parking area when it was just the hunting grounds because you went to the east. Yes, still pulling out there was a danger, but not as much traffic as we have now. So, does anybody have any questions for the fire chief? Or would you like, you got to add anything?
Well, I one question, Bill. When was this accident? I can't find it on.
June 11th, that's right. No, I didn't give you that report.
Yes.
I didn't get a copy of all this, but this happened on June 11th.
So you can only go to the north or south there when you say going to the east. How do you get to the east?
I'm saying when they park here, Mr. Chairman, when you go to the east, you're going on to the DNR property. When they park here and go to your park, they're walking across the crest of the hill.
All the people walking.
And pulling out. That one was parked on that wide shoulder and pulled out in front. The car heading north had to swerve and hit the car heading south.
Right.
It's a blind intersection. By your own statement, if you listen to the minutes of the last meeting, you even said if there is an accident there, it's going to be a bad one. I listened to your meeting.
Right.
So
well, the obvious thing is you would only go to the north there. If you're in that parking lot, I mean, you'd be a fool to try to swing a U-ey and go to the south. But
well, you can't fix stupid, Mr. Sherman. That's
right. Do you have a date on when this accident was?
Maybe it was June 11th. Yeah. And you know, of course, the fatal one we had there.
Well, there's a date at the top that says 01/05/2005.
Yeah, that's
the date of the form.
That's okay.
That's the date.
I didn't get copies of the whole accident. Yeah. There's an accident report from the county, and the chief has a copy of the fireman's report, if you like to glance at that.
Well, when you have just so you know, that's why we asked Gary to have you folks here, is that we have warrants when we do speed limits, we have warrants for just about everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so we wanted to get some history on why this was being approached.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have more, that'd be great.
But,
Louis Denko, I'm the fire chief for Tom Wheatland. 38601 31st Street, Burlington. My concern, aside from the parking issue, what you'll see is people doing U-turns in that area, anywhere from the top of the hill to the bottom. They'll just turn in there, do a U-turn, go back to the park entrance. So they're really not looking both ways before they pull back out into traffic. I travel up and down KD quite a bit, and that's not an uncommon situation. More so, with people pulling out of there is a concern. I see families go there, the parents or a single parent will go with a couple of kids, they'll go across to the lake, they'll go fishing, and you'll see little kids running back to the car to get something. And I would hope someday we're not going to have some car flying over that hill and hits a little kid on the other side of the hill on the blind side. So if we can prevent that from happening, I think if we put a pedestrian crossing there, we might just be encouraging more people to be walking across. I think if we can prevent that traffic, especially the foot traffic, we're going to be safer off in the long run.
Anything else?
The only thing I would ask is if we could have a four-way meeting, you know, to go out there and find a spot for a small parking area there.
Well, we have plans. I mean, there's plans for parking there.
Okay.
So, I mean, that's not something that the four of us would ever decide. I mean, we have a plan for the park.
Okay.
And there is a spot for, you know, parking there.
For the safety of the people for now, then I would request that you guys really think hard about this because there's too much traffic there. I think you should put no parking here, and I agree with whichever one of you guys were speaking at that meeting I was listening to about putting the parking area there. I would put that as a priority and send your squads out there. If my constable comes by there, I'll tell him to call a county squad to write a ticket, but I would really please ask that you put these signs up as soon as possible before we lose a life here.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you for the time.
All right. Thanks.
Is this the, on the agenda?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'll talk about it.
Any other citizens' comments?
You want me to stick around for that agenda stuff? Or?
You can. Yeah, it's next.
He's got a question. He's got a fire department. I'll stick around for that.
Yep. Any other citizens' comments? If not, citizens' comments are closed. First, on the agenda is highways. Mr. Sixer.
First item was to review and approve the ordinance on the parking regulations on County Trunk Highway KD. At the last meeting, this ordinance was tabled, and the representatives of the town were asked to appear at this meeting, which has just happened. So I really don't have anything to add to what's already been said. And if, in fact, you would like us to proceed to posting the no parking, then this ordinance would need to be approved tonight and then approved by the full board.
Right. Nothing from the committee. Supervisor Dodge.
I was out to the park today to look at this, and if we take away the parking there and we don't put parking on the west side of the road, that you have to park in, well, there's a parking lot. If you walk from the parking lot, if you want to go fishing, and I'm concerned mainly with seniors, handicapped, it's almost between 4/10 and 5/10 of a mile. It's a 20-minute walk to go to the dam on the trail. And I just think that we're restricting the seniors' camp. Matter of fact, there was a senior citizen fishing there today that parked on the other side of the street. I don't want to restrict the seniors, the handicapped, from being able to use the facility and park. And until we can get parking on the west side, I can't approve no parking on the other side. It's used a lot, granted, but they need access, especially the seniors and the handicapped. And I don't want to take that away from them. So I can't approve this. I would like to see a parking spot put on the west side of the road, and I'd like to get that done as soon as we could financially do it, but in the meantime, I don't want to take it away.
Supervisor Noble?
Well, a couple things. They talked about how people would do U-turns. They kind of like pull in there and do a U-turn. If you did have no parking on the side of the on the road, number one, that doesn't mean you can't still do a U-turn, right?
It wouldn't prevent a car from doing a U-turn if it was just a single movement.
Right.
If it was, you know, obviously.
And the other question is this is called on this map a gravel lot. I don't know how wide it is, but do we have jurisdiction on no parking on the side of the road for gravel lots? In other words, if I saw no parking on the side of the road all the way up and down this thing, and I come to this gravel lot, I would think, well, this is a gravel lot. It's not parking on the side of the road. I mean, if I'd never been there before, I don't know how wide it is, but I may think this isn't part of the side of the road.
It would be effective within the highway right away. If the gravel pull-off is wider than the highway right away at that point and the car was over off the highway right away onto the state land, then I don't believe they would get cited for no parking. They
so
would get cited for parking on
that, state that's
land.
My concern. I mean, by looking at this map, if the general public would probably perceive that there's no parking on the side of the road, and I'm going to park in that gravel lot, and still we'll still have people parking in that gravel lot. Would you agree that probably would happen or no?
It's possible, unless we remove the gravel and topsoil and seeded it like the rest of the
right.
side of the road.
Okay.
Which is probably what we would do if there was no parking there.
Is that all within the
I don't know. I'd have to locate the right of way.
It's on DNR property. We can't probably do that.
No, not without their permission.
It's about 60 feet from the edge of the blacktop to where you couldn't park. So we would And that's fine. But we would have to alter the terrain and alter the mindset, because it's been used for, I'm 59. It's been used for those years. So it's not a minor thing to do.
Yeah, I mean, that's it. And then it brings another point. If you're going to spend money to fill in a parking lot, but we don't have the money to put another parking lot in, it doesn't even, you know, it's a portion of it doesn't really make good sense. And we have the same problem that if we get rid of this parking lot, and you got somebody that wants to park and go over here to hunt, and now they're going to park in ours parking lot, and then they're going to walk across the street. You still got your people, you know, well, have you solved it?
It's not a safe road at all. So you do have a problem no matter what we do there. Peter?
Just out of curiosity, is the original purpose of that lot for parking?
I think it historically was widened and widened more and widened more. I don't think the state ever initially put it in as a parking spot.
Okay.
The county has used it. Truckers have used it. And people have used it, you know, over time. It's not a normal shoulder. You could park a semi and still park next to that with a couple cars.
Mm-hmm. And then additionally, it sounded like you were saying just in general it's in a very bad spot. Like this.
There is a DNR parking lot just to the south of that that you can access and drive back on a trail and park. And there's actual gravel area for the DNR area. Mm-hmm. So, like Mr. Sixma said, you could just throw a little dirt and seed there and be done with it. And you don't have to worry about nobody getting killed there. And then when you get your money, I will donate my time from Combined Concrete to cut you in a parking lot there. I'll do it next week if you'd like me to. Show me where you want it, I'll put it there. But I want it where it's a safe spot. Where Gary Sixma, I think, would have the knowledge for that, either the crest of the hill or as far north as you can put it, and there's your access, so I'll donate it to you.
Yeah, that was just kind of what I wanted to address, was you're going to need a parking lot somewhere, but make sure you put it in a safe place, and just, you know, you don't have to cover the whole place up, but it would be possible to just get like a fence in there, and that's still a place where people can. You said that is connected to another.
Here's what I don't allow is conversations back and forth.
Okay.
So you speak.
Okay. Yes. So would it be possible to just have a fence there and you don't have to worry about moving and changing everything about it?
We would have to do something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Anything else from the committee?
Mr. Chairman, I know in our last discussion, one of the things that I certainly was interested in was hearing from the town. And the town took the time to come in here and explain their perspective on it. And I certainly, public safety, I think, is number one. On the other hand, Supervisor Dodge brings up a good point, and that is convenience, maybe to elderly or handicapped. But first and foremost is public safety. All it's going to take is a fatality, and you won't ever see that lot used again. On the other hand, I don't know what our time frame is to maybe. And I realize we all would love to be able to just go and maybe cut in a lot of wish was that easy and look, throw some gravel or some seed down, but working if that's DNR property, we all know how fast they work. So my fear is that we might post it, but it's going to still continue to get used. Okay, there'll be some parking tickets, but in the meantime, is there that chance that we could have an accident? I'm okay with supporting this ordinance now that you've come out, given your perspective, why, your concerns of public safety. I hate taking convenience away, especially given that I don't live out there, but I know many people have probably used this for many years, and all of a sudden, like, what's the deal here? The government, once again, intruding on my freedoms, you know, my choices and things without really comprehending the fact that we're trying to look out for themselves, but also the innocent bystander that might be going the other direction. And so I'm not here to just carry on, but I can support this ordinance change, provided if we can take a look at how soon might we be able to put an alternative solution in place for the general public, for convenience. Because the other part is, you're right, to Supervisor Noble's part, are they going to park in that lot now and cross across KD to go hunting? I don't think pedestrians are as big a concern as it is
autos in that area. So thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yep. Anything else from the committee? The only thing I'm going to say on this, because I have very mixed feelings on this, I know the hunters are still going to park there. I know that we don't have the money to change the terrain, and definitely we won't change the terrain this winter or this fall when the hunters will start using it. So it's going to be used. It's not as simplistic as the town chairman thinks to take a bobcat and cut in a parking lot there. That can't be done. To what our needs are. It's a complicated situation, and the only area to cut that in is right at that point. Mm-hmm. Our trail and pond are to the south there, and there's another pond to the north. So right across from that parking area is where, on our park plans, is our road to our parking lot. So you're still going to have turning and things happening there. It's a complex grading and a parking lot building. It's not just putting in a garage. But I won't vote against this either. But I also will not drive down that road and have orange silt fence up there for a year and a half. I'm not going to take away the beauty of that area. And so if this is done, somebody better have a real good plan to do it properly. And to somehow enforce it. Supervisor Dodge?
Well, if you do prohibit parking there, you are telling the handicapped that you can't fish here. That's basically what you're saying. Safety? Yeah, there is a hill there. Options are no U-turn signs, reduce speed limits. I didn't have a problem getting across that road at all. I mean, if you look, you have plenty of time to cross there. If somebody's doing the speed limit, I wouldn't have had a problem. I was there today, I've been there other times, and I parked there. I see people parking there to fish, and the senior citizen I talked to today says, I can't walk a half a mile to come here and fish. So I can't agree with this.
Anything else?
Yeah.
Supervisor Noodle.
From what I hear, pretty much everybody would be in favor if we had an alternative to do something and put a parking lot there. At this point, I guess we don't have one. How about if we just table this year, maybe for a month or so, and try to come up with some ideas on how we can do the
second motion
to replace that.
We have a motion and a second to table. What, until the committee looks at the alternative plans.
And we'll try to do as fast as we can.
Any discussion on that motion? If not, all those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
No.
Motion carries to table.
See you later.
Thanks, Bill. Yep. We'll work on it, Bill.
I hope so. I'll be too late.
Okay, Gary.
Just a couple items. You may have read that the 30th Avenue project is complete and open. That was our major reconstruction project for this year. We did get an early start. Unfortunately, it ran a little bit past our completion date because of all the rain we had in April. So, but very, very well done project by our contractors at NAGO. Today, a new employee started at the civil engineering position in the Department of Public Works. That position was filled. Person Ron Schild began today. His background is in traffic engineering, being in that position, he will provide services for the entire Department of Public Works. Finally going to get some support in that area, and in the position that he's in, you'll meet him many, many times at many meetings, I'm sure. So that's very helpful for us to get him on board. That's all I had, unless anyone had any questions.
Thank you, Gary. We will move on to parks. Mr. Rudy.
You don't have anything to report on Katie on the master plan? Well, I know a week from tomorrow I have a meeting with the park planners and another entity to discuss some potential activity out there, and that's about all I have right now on that. The next thing was, I know a lot of supervisors here are aware of the wastewater treatment plant we have at Brightondale. And every year I do compliance maintenance report on that treatment plant. And the one thing that I do have to do is bring that forward to you guys, to this committee, and get approval that you guys are aware of it and of the operation of the plant and the grades that it's getting for the year. And again, we've got a 4.0. Rich Heinisch up there has been operating it now for quite a few years and does a really good job with it. And basically, from you guys, we just need to vote to acknowledge and accept this report. And if you want to look at the full 21-page report, I can pass it around. But all I included in your packets was just the grade page for all the different sections.
Well, I think that's great, John. A lot of people aren't probably aware that we have a sewer treatment plant there, but we're at the 4-point range, and that's...
Move to approve.
Second.
Move to second to accept and approve the report on the wastewater treatment plant. Any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
You the governance?
Aye.
Thanks, John.
For my July report, the Pringle Nature Center, and we met out there last month, that front window that had been shot out was ordered and has been replaced. At Kemper Center, the summer youth crew has been busy painting and working on the grounds. We thought this was their last week, but they had a few kids drop out throughout the summer here with the heat, so there's actually enough to keep them going now for an additional week. But down at Kemper, they primed the gazebo that sits out by the soccer fields. Last week, it looks really nice. I'd like to get that painted, but I think that's a little bit beyond them. That's because they wanted to kind of match the Durkee Mansion. But anyways, we have plenty of work for them down there. At Pitfang Springs, the Area 1 walk bridge was showing its age. All the wood was rotted. We rebuilt that and added some riprap on the north side on the bank where it was washed out. The Make-A-Wish car show was larger this year than it has been in the last four. I think we went up from by 30 vehicles. We do have a lot of cars that show up that don't register. They just come and hang out, so it's kind of hard to get an accurate count. The UW Parkside and the Kenosha Museum did an archaeological excavation at the Jacob Montgomery site in Petrifying Springs in July. And some of the things they found, they got to look at, they found a porcelain doll face, hinges, buttons, china, square nails, just everything they found points to just 1830s. What they had hoped to find there were things that maybe dated that site earlier because of the Green Bay Trail. They were hoping that they could prove that that had possibly been like a fur trading post even back into the 1700s, but they weren't able to do that at this time. But they did say that in December, when they have all their results and everything finalized, we would be invited to see the artifacts and listen to their findings, or I don't know if they get up and give a speech about it or if they just hand it out or what they do. The 60-year-old water line at the pet shop let go, so we had to trench another one of those in over at Pets. We patch in one spot and it just pop in another. So at KD, the summer youth crew is still working over there. We did pull them out of there to drag brush for the disc golf course over at Silver Lake for a little bit. I think, again, they're back over there this week doing some more cleaning and working on trails. The tanker trailer and the fuel trucks have been removed from KD. And the big, I think it's a 10,000-gallon tank, is still left to be removed and will be. And there's an agreement there then to with them in exchange for a new 500-gallon tank and a pump for the highway division. At the Warren Close Bart Park, one of our staff guys and the youth crew installed a new sidewalk and also cemented in the sally port on there, so that's finished. Emerald Ash Bore Management Plan, the Casones, I talked with them last week, and they plan to get started probably here in late August, and again, that'll wrap up with probably a presentation to the committee in December. I did apply for two grants, and I wasn't successful in either one. One was to restore the riverbanks along the pike at Petrifying Springs, and that one I didn't get, and I also had submitted for another one, as you guys are aware, to remove invasive species, and I wasn't successful with that either. Disc golf, again, we had Terry Miller, who was a professional designer, lay out the front nine at Silver Lake Park, and the summer youth crew and our staff worked at brushing out the fairways at Silver Lake. And it's going to be, I suspect before that golf course is done, it's probably going to be pushing the end of 2014 with the amount of work that we have there to get that one together. And that's all I have.
Thank you, John. Doug?
The amount of work you talk about, that's for the second nine. You already have nine in play, right? Nine holes for disc golf?
No, I have 27 holes at Fox River.
Oh, so you're good.
And then this is another 18 at Silver Lake Park.
Oh, at Silver Lake Park.
Right, so we're just getting started. You know, the whole idea here is to make that area a destination. So if you drive here from Iowa, you can basically disc golf the whole weekend in one spot.
Gotcha.
So that's what we're shooting for.
And it's very inexpensive for us to build. Treasurer Dash?
Petrified Springs, Jonathan, I mentioned to you about the erosion on the north side of Highway A. I noticed that on the northeast side, it all wood chipped real nice, and they laid a bunch of wood chips down on the where it goes around the loop on the north side. The major erosion was on, instead of on the northeast side, was on the northwest side. That was the part I was complaining about. It's a lot of erosion where the hill comes down and the walkway goes. And I don't know what the answer is, but I believe that the wood chips would have been better served on the northwest side.
Okay, well, I think I'm just a little confusion on where you meant.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, you did a great job on the northeast side. I've got to commend you on that. Okay. But that northwest side is real bad.
Okay. Yeah. You're talking where it comes right down to A.
Right down that hill, yeah, the erosion is real bad.
Yep.
Anything else for John? No, thank you, John.
Thank you.
Move on to golf.
Well, our revenue and rounds are still down overall, but July was a very good month for us. I mean, we did better than last year. The numbers are on the back, or on the next page. You can see that we were down about 250 rounds at Petrifying Springs, but we were up 400 rounds at Bragdale. So overall, for the year right now, we're down about 8,000 rounds yet. But, you know, I feel that, you know, we really have the product that people are asking for. I mean, the comments that we get daily are that, you know, that we have, you know, just a great facility and at a great value, and people are really enjoying the customer service, they're enjoying the food, they're enjoying the golf course conditions. So we're receiving outstanding reviews, you know, about our operations. And you know, this weekend we did about 1,550 rounds, about 1,050 rounds at Brightondale and 500 rounds at Petrifying Springs. And, you know, it just shows that when we have the weather, you know, when it's decent for golf, I mean, we have the people. So things are going well, and hopefully the rest of the year we get a break on the weather and we get caught up. So that's what we're hoping for. The food and beverage staff is receiving excellent comments about the food. To date, we served almost 1,500 fish fries. Just this weekend, we had 79 at Petrifying Springs and 52 at Brightondale. So that's in addition to this 1,466. The Kenosha County Open, we doubled the participation of last year, went very well. Andrew Trojanic won with three rounds in the 60s, so that was amazing golf that he shot. He was a first-time winner. And then we had the Kenosha County Ladies Open at Pets, and the Junior Open went very well also. Junior program's going tremendous. Last week we just got done with 20, I'm sorry, there was 13 kids from the Recplex that came for a week-long camp, Monday through Friday from 1 to 3. And then we have 30 kids over at Brightondale every Wednesday morning. We have 30 kids on Wednesday evenings and 40 kids on Thursday evenings at Petrifying Springs. So it's really, really doing well. The Junior League went well. We only got four kids to sign up from our facilities this year. We will start recruiting again for next year, but we combined with Delbrook over in Delavan, and our kids took first place, so that was really cool. It was we had Hawksview and Geneva National and other facilities in there, and you know, it was great to see. And then the air conditioning was set in place last Thursday. It was started last Friday, and they were still working on some tweaks today, but it's finally working, and the humidity is out of the building, and you know, it's cooling down there. So we were pretty lucky that we had a fairly forgiving summer. You know, we had 2 weeks that were pretty hot, but you know, it was, now it's done, so you know, hopefully we still have some money left. We're going to try and come to you guys and ask to reappoint that at a future date to do the furnace, the other furnace that needs to be done. So the other thing, I just wanted to address the citizens' comments if I can. This does now say, and my mistake was not tearing it all out that we had out there, but it does say the last line on the top here, yearly golf passes are non-transferable and non-refundable. It says it right there, you know, so... And you're exactly right. We get all kinds of excuses made up, you know, and we have worked with some people that have medical issues.
Right. I know we have.
Yeah. But that's how we've handled that, this policy. So it is right there in the first paragraph, and everybody can see it. So I will work on an age policy and present that.
Because some guys, if they shot a 9 on a par 3, would want, you know, okay, that's it, I'm done.
Right.
No. So. All right. Supervisor Dodge.
Yeah, first off, I'd like to mention that I'm not a golfer, so I'm not too familiar with the golf courses, although I spent a lot of time out at Pets and felt pretty comfortable knowing that. But I want to thank Dan for taking time out of his busy day. It was a couple of weeks ago. Showed me all around Brightondale, explained everything, all the different parts of the facility, and I appreciate the time that he gave me to bring me up to speed with what's going out there. And that form, you did say that you didn't replace the old ones. I did go today and ask for that form from your pro shop, and the form they gave me did not say non-refundable, you know. So I'm glad we got that behind us. I'm glad that you guys got some vehicle or some method in force that if somebody actually does have a stroke or a medical issue that we can properly deal with it. So. Very good. Thank you.
Anything else for Dan? No, thank you, Dan. Nope.
Actually, I have a comment or a question, whatever I'm going to put it. I know you have been there with receiving outstanding reviews, and I want to concur on that. I believe you're really doing a great job. I was disappointed with the people that we had there before you, okay, which now I'm not... I'm not sure if there is anything else that you can do to improve the golf courses or conditions and attendance or whatever you want to call it, you know, for tournaments. But I guess this is Wisconsin, and the weather is what it is. So is it because, I know I've been asking this question, I probably can, I know the answer, what the answer is going to be, but still I'm going to ask, is that maybe because we have too many holes over there at the Brighton Dales, you know, from 45, and maybe we should cut it down, or what can we do? I mean, I really believe you're doing everything that you can do. So it's nothing against you, actually. I want to congratulate you for the job that you've been doing. Okay? What can we do, or what am I missing that I don't understand the way it's working, and why we should keep on going?
So right, no, that's a policy issue for the county board. So I mean, I would say that I would not want to burden one of our staff that they can't make that decision. So if you would want, like to bring that up.
Okay, more than making the decision, is there something that I'm missing? Not to make the decision. Okay?
Correct.
Is there something I'm missing?
What I'm saying is I'm not going to ask an employee of the county to give that type of opinion.
Okay.
Dan, very short if you do, because we can get into a discussion that he has no decision making on this.
No, I can appreciate
it. It's all us.
I can appreciate that.
Okay. I just want to say that, you know, last year we made money, and there's a possibility that we will again this year. So I mean, it's not out of the realm that we are going to, you know, if October turns around from what it was last year to what it was in 2011, we could be very good.
Just to kind of share with or add to Supervisor Noodles, if you look at, do we have too many holes? Well, Petrified Springs only has 18, but they were still negative from what last year was, but were positive this month. And I agree, fall golf in Wisconsin is outstanding. If we could get some, I really do like playing in September, October, and even early November. If we get a break on some weather, things I think could be better, but we just can't predict it, so it is what it is.
And if I can add, the county executive, we had moved his golf outing from September to October 4th, you know, so I'm very excited about that. I mean, that should be a great event again, you know. I mean, it's a good money for the junior golf program, and we usually get about 80 people and have a wonderful time, so I'm really looking forward to having it in that fall period when, you know, hopefully we have some great weather.
Okay, thank you, Dan. We'll move on to facilities.
Mr. Chairman, I'll take the 60th Street Tower. We have some good news. The DNR did finally get on July 30th the environmental assessment out and the press release out. And that is open to public comments about the tower and swapping of the land by the city until August 13th. It's the last day for comments. The DNR has August 19th slated to send the documents to National Park Service, and they anticipate by August 30th that the National Park Service would give their approval. That really puts us, with our timeline, that puts us into December, getting the tower up and on.
Right. Operation.
That's it on the tower. Any questions?
September or December? What did you say?
December. We have a contractor. It's been waiting for a year. We have to hope that his schedule works. He's not digging a hole somewhere else. This doesn't just happen in a week. Concrete has to cure for, yeah, I think, 30 days.
We got 3 weeks of cure for this concrete.
Yeah.
I've been keeping the contractor plugged in every step of the way,
right,
to make sure that as this is gone, that to keep him available.
Right.
Is the bed still good, or can they change it? So because so much time elapsed between
the bed, is its price still good?
Yeah, actually, we're having him relook it over. In some cases, some commodity prices, you know, copper and things have come down. So his first initial thing was, we should be okay.
Okay.
Next one, KCDC HVAC controls. Do you want to touch on that, Ron, or?
We had a minor setback on there. Our HVAC tech that we hired quit last month, so that's kind of been put on hold until we can get somebody else hired with the skill set to get, they can start putting these in. So we're kind of holding pattern right now.
Right. Yule House.
Carol O'Neill was kind enough to join us.
I think you all know that we had released this RFP in the spring and we did not get any responses. I did contact the people who showed up for the pre-bid walkthrough and asked some questions about why they didn't respond. And I got some answers that some of them asked to be off the record, so I'm not going to give the names of the people that said these things. One of the people that showed up to the pre-proposal conference is a former, or was a former, county elected official now and then a realtor. And the other realtors, and I got this from three of them, felt that his association with the county kind of sewed up the deal for him. They felt that it was already predetermined that he was going to win. Well, then he didn't submit a proposal either. And I asked him why, and he said one of the things that we had asked for is for a realtor that had commercial experience with some historical experience preferred. We would give preference to that. And he had no commercial experience, and he knew that these other people did have commercial experience, so he didn't submit. So even though they're competing against each other, none of them submitted anything. They also felt, all of them said, it would be a very difficult house to get any comps to set a price with the addition that was put on the building. They said it's going to be very difficult to market that building, very difficult to sell it because of that addition. They were concerned that the board felt that the building was worth more than what they were going to think it was worth, and that you wouldn't be happy with the price that they were trying to market it at. They felt that somebody was predetermined that who was going to win. One of them said that it wasn't worth his time because he knew what he was going to set his commission rate at, and he knew that the two others with commercial experience would undercut him. So he didn't submit. So they all had some reasons in common for not doing it, and then they had their own individual reasons for not doing it as well. So I talked to them all. I reissued the RFP. The former county elected official he told me he was going to submit. One other said he was going to submit, and then that former county elected official passed away. And that's where we're at. The other guy did not submit either. So I would like to get some direction from the committee where you want me to go with this. I can resubmit it again and talk to them and give them some assurances, or however you feel about setting a price, that you would go with whatever they felt they would go with. I don't know how you feel about it.
The directive came from the county board. You know, it goes then through this committee, but it was a resolution passed from the executive committee. So, as far as this committee telling you how to do that, we'd probably have to go back and actually have that approved by the county board. There, I think just a logical, common sense approach would be, I'm sure that you've reached out to this community now. Have you reached out?
Yes.
Everywhere?
Yes.
And we're getting one response or not one response?
We didn't get any response. We only had locals. We had one from Heartland, Wisconsin showed up, but everybody else was local real estate.
That was on this most recent one.
That showed up. When we reissued it, we only reissued it to the people who appeared at that pre-proposal meeting because we wanted them to come in and see what they were getting themselves into.
Now, how many were those?
There were eight. Eight firms, multiple realtors from each firm showed up.
Eight firms. And then, when was this done?
In the spring, in late April.
The county board just voted to have this redone this past 3 weeks. From the executive committee, this was just done.
Right, the board, that's the executive committee.
Pardon?
You said the executive committee or the board?
Well, the executive committee, it was executive committee's resolution.
Right.
It went to the county board.
Right.
That was just in the last 2 weeks, 3 weeks.
I wasn't aware of that.
Yeah. We just asked to have it redone.
To redo the RFP?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then that's what I'll do.
Oh, I thought that's what we were talking about. No, no, we asked to have the RFP redone.
I was not aware of that.
Mike?
You obviously know what you're doing. You're very good at what you do.
Thank you.
Did we, as a board, put too many restrictions? Have you painted you into a box, and that's part of what's going on here? Or are you free to kind of run this bid in the best to your ability?
I'm running it in the best
okay,
of my ability.
Okay, great. Just want to make sure, because if not, then we need to,
on me. No.
To take the shackles off, so
no.
to speak.
And
it sounds like a perfect storm. This one was going to bite, but didn't, because, you know, they're all thinking
they all
rather than just go after the business.
Too much, right. Instead of asking questions okay. that they should have asked, they right. made assumptions.
It was just at last month's county board that we passed a resolution to put this back out.
Okay. I'm sorry, I wasn't aware of that.
And so that's what we're asking you to do.
Okay.
You know, to whatever yeah. whatever method you use to get it back out.
Okay, that's what we'll do then.
Supervisor Dudo, I'm not going to let you give advice on real estate.
I'm not asking that, which maybe I should.
Okay. Yeah.
But I just want to make a couple comments. One is, and I apologize if I'm wrong, but I don't recall it. At the last board meeting,
well, maybe it was 2 minutes ago.
Came in, or even late. I don't recall it at all, and I'm not saying it did. I just don't recall.
Well, maybe it's coming tomorrow. I know that the executive committee just
tomorrow. I believe an RFP is coming tomorrow, but it's on the golf course.
Yeah.
Okay.
Not on this year. So again, I'm not saying that it wasn't. I don't recall it.
Okay.
So even if it wasn't, now going back on this RFP that we had before. And I mentioned this in the last, I believe, 2 minutes ago or something, pretty much. I mentioned that some realtors were called because there were nobody bid on it. And someone here, they say that, no, that is not the case. There were bids and they were just waiting because you were off.
I had surgery.
You had surgery, you were off, so you could not go through the bids, but there were bids in there. To do it again, I'm going to wait on that, but maybe if we can do it, to put it for full discussion at the next meeting, if we can do it, maybe to put it on the agenda so we can have a full discussion.
I truthfully don't think we have to, because I do know that the executive committee passed it, and if I'm wrong that the county board didn't, it's going to be tomorrow at the next meeting. But we did vote to redo the RFP.
Can we put it for the next meeting, just in case, and if it is...
what would you want?
To have a full discussion on our end to see...
We're not in a position to tell this department how to market something for the county.
But we do have some authority, I suppose, this committee to say how we're going to handle the real estate that we...
Yes.
That we own.
Correct.
So maybe, can we put something maybe on the agenda to discuss the real estate that Kenosha County owns, including but not limited to this property?
You want to have a special meeting, we can.
Oh, that's fine.
You want to discuss all the real estate that the county
well,
owns?
Well, right now, really, I want to discuss this year, but we can talk about all the properties, or at least the properties available for sale.
Well, we've done that just recently. We had a full list of all the properties that we did discuss.
But we did not discuss about selling them. There's many properties that the county owns to tax deeds and whatever their reason, and then not being put on the market.
Okay, we'll have a special meeting.
Okay.
And that would be with the county clerk. They do the marketing.
I understand.
Okay.
They also say they're the They can do anything they want.
I'm just telling you who handles that. It's not this committee. It's the county clerk. So if you would like to make a motion and set a date, we'll see if the group here wants to have a special meeting.
I'll make a motion to set up a special meeting to discuss this year. As for dates, we can do it pretty much, I don't have a calendar, but whenever it's convenient for everybody. Would it be worth to do it the same night of the meeting, or maybe...
You're talking about a very long meeting here. If we discuss the...
Maybe we can do it...
The property that the county owns.
The third Monday of September. This.
So how would you like to phrase this? You would like a meeting to discuss the properties that the county owns that are for sale?
That are for sale, that could be up for sale. Basically, all the properties that we own it with tax deeds and or property, like a properties like this legal house. Yeah, September 16th.
That's the third Monday in September.
16th.
We would have to contact the clerk, see, make sure they were available, and give them time to put that together. Could I suggest that you make it October to give them time? You're talking about 3-4 weeks.
I have no problem.
Yeah, that's a lot of stuff.
I have no problem. Yeah. And again, I'm flexible on the dates as much as...
To Roger
Dodd? I don't know if this is necessary to go through our committee, but I understand, let me put it this way, I understand there's talk that the county has a lot of buildable lots, non-buildable lots, that for some reason, whether it be wetland or whatever, not big enough to build on because of code, a number of them that are just... a problem for the county because they have to maintain, cut the grass, and take care of them. And there's some talk that I heard that the county wants to give that property to the adjacent property owner and in return put that property back on the tax rolls. Now, I understand there's some work being done on that. Would that be something for our committee to look at, or that...
Point of order.
Yeah.
Can we get back on topic?
I would like to, yeah. Oh, that wouldn't be something for us?
Would it be?
This rumor, first, if you could tell us where it comes from.
I was talking with County Executive Cruiser.
Okay.
And, all right.
Well, then, what happens here, so we can get back on topic, is that there's many divisions to this county, and if you remember, see, I might be off here, but it was maybe 6 weeks ago, we did give a piece of land through Mr. Sitzman's division to a... factory in Pleasant Prairie.
Right.
Okay. We maybe 3 months ago gave some land to Silver Lake. I know in this past year we've given land to Twin Lakes. If it works out, we've given land in Pleasant Prairie by the prairie, where we have a little piece of land that's doing nothing and they want to add it to the wetlands. So yes, it does happen, but it's not all controlled by one entity. And it has happened since I've been here. Doug's been here longer. But, I mean, it happens every year, all year, that we do. So, I mean, that's nothing new, but to put it all in one bundle, that's impossible. It couldn't be put in one.
Would it have to come through this committee?
It goes through the county board.
Yeah, eventually.
Right.
But would it first go through our committee?
Not if it was, if Mr. Sipsma, if it's highway department land, it would.
Okay.
If the clerk has it on foreclosure or through something else, it wouldn't go through this committee.
Okay. No. All right.
So it'd go through the finance department for sure. You know, on some of those.
Okay.
Doug?
Back on Yule House, I think that we should do another RFP. I don't know. The dynamics may have changed now that the former county employee no longer will be. I don't know. I'm sure you might have an idea or two that you can interject for possibly to get somebody to not have these preconceived ideas that we're going to not be happy with whatever they appraise it at. We understand that
that building has issues. And we also understand there's some maintenance work that needs to be done, but if we can sell it, somebody else may take care of it.
If I can make another comment, we did have three people that contacted me separately that were interested in looking at the house. And one was a local CPA, was thinking of relocating his business there. He would use the house portion of it for his business, and he was trying to get a partner business in the annex, and that fell through for him. He wasn't able to get a partner. There is another woman that is interested in the building who is a former Kenosha resident. She has done historical renovations in the past. She's lived in California for a number of years, has just sold her house there, waiting to close on it, and is moving back and wants to do a historical renovation in this area. So this is one of three that she's considering. A third person did look at it last week, and she just, when she looked at the annex, was horrified. So she wasn't interested because of that. But those are three people that we would not be have listed under a realtor. Right. They would be protected.
Well, if this is our update, and I maybe told everybody new news here that there's a resolution coming. I thought we already did it, that to direct for this to happen again. So either on tomorrow's agenda, I'm sure. I may be wrong. I thought we already did it, but. But that was the request anyway, or the intentions of the executive committee, that we put it back out. So we can get off this.
Just one quick one. Do you have everything you need done from us?
Yes.
Okay. So no restrictions. No.
No restrictions.
There's no preconceived cost
Not
or
on,
price
no.
or rate.
No.
Thank you.
Okay. Let's go to a.
Thank you for your time.
Let's have a so we can move on here. There's been a request by Supervisor Nudo to have a meeting October, third Monday in October.
21st.
To go over all county-owned property. Property that may be for sale, foreclosed on, or held by county government. Any discussion?
Second.
Move and second. No discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. Move on.
Mr. Chairman, I'll kind of put the D&E together.
Thanks, Carol, for coming.
You're welcome. Go ahead.
KCAP critical facade roof survey and KCAP waterproofing. As you know from the previous meeting, we found out the city was going to redo 56th Street. The sidewalks and the curb and gutter, which we'd have to tear up to do the waterproofing of the admin building, which are getting a lot of water in there. It turned out we hurried up and did the engineering and things, and it turns out the city got their bids back and they were over budget for doing 56th Street and curb and gutters and sidewalks. So they put it on hold, and they're trying to see what they can do with that project, which kind of puts us on hold, right?
Right.
So we'll know. They're going to make a decision before next month's meeting. So I'll be able to come back and report. Any questions on that?
Hang on.
And we already had the money approved for this, right?
Yes, but we're not doing it until the city does it.
Right, we had the money approved. Can we use the money maybe to do the other side now and then do it then?
It depends.
Possibly, yeah. Depends on what the city does.
Okay.
Go ahead.
No, that's exactly what I was going to say.
Right.
That's it. Any other questions?
No.
Do you want to talk about the Mary Gaines Frost building around?
Mm-hmm. We had some delays in getting the demolition permits. Our contractor had a little bit of trouble. He finally picked up the permit today. He's going to start the demolition tomorrow, so we're hoping by Friday the house will be down, the land will be clear, and then he'll be back in next week to, we're going to plant grass there, so he's going to just backfill and plant grass. Hopefully
very good.
We'll be able to demolish.
So, Resident Noble?
Where is this house, I guess?
Next to our administration building, the attorney's office that we purchased.
Oh, that house?
Yeah.
I saw that.
She's already out of that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's fast.
You give an attorney enough money, they'll go.
I guess so.
The woman have disappeared fast.
You guys help a mover.
So, that's it, folks. No other new business? Yes, sir.
Are there any other businesses other than like golf that the county runs for the benefit of the public, or is it just golf?
That's the only money making business besides the nursing home.
Okay.
Yeah. We have some non for profits. We have businesses that operate at the Kemper Center, and we have volunteer group and a business that at the Pringle Nature Center, but that's again a not-for-profit thing. So, and golf is not-for-profit sometimes. Yeah. And I shouldn't say we have, because of their expertise, have had our paving crew hired by other counties to do certain things that they weren't didn't have the expertise to do.
Okay.
Motion to adjourn.
Move to adjourn.
Moved. Supervisor Dodge.
I just wanted to, next September meeting is the first Monday of Labor Day. Can we do the next week after that? Am I a month off or something?
No. The second.
We'll do the second. We'll do the second Monday.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who made the motion on the second?
Dodge, Skolitsky. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.